大家去接一个方面做了分析三月出发了小三月去当做月去的话将就把头疼的一个大家去接一个方面做了分析三月出发了 那其实我们的这个苏苏朗朗的把这些接把接接把判断把这些接下来呢，俺爹俩给你买的把接，做俺这个接把落下的读些接的，俺没想到给苏苏里啊这个你就接，俺那这个嘛读些当接了刚刚接，等你接完呢，俺爹俩俺那这个水不空过日子，水不空接，哎，这接的你。 말이야
Good evening. Then last time we've been looking at the practices of the Bodhisattva in the context of transforming difficulties onto the path. So can you hear me okay at the back there? Yeah, loud? Good, okay. And so we spoke about how with a mind infused by the recollection of the kindness that others have shown us since beginningless times, and the wish to repay that kindness, then one should, with such a mind present, whenever one receives encounters difficulties in our relationship with others, for example, if people scold us or talk abusively towards us, or if they physically harm us, then we should practice patience. And practice patience with this understanding of the kindness that they have shown us in the past, and with an awareness that through practicing patience now, we are actually transforming this difficulty into a cause for enlightenment. So in this way, the person who's giving us a hard time, they are actually fulfilling the role of a spiritual teacher, and we can liken them to our own spiritual teacher, who through their enlightened activities guide us to the state of omniscience. And here, through the way we transform this difficult situation, this person who is verbally abusing us or maybe even physically harming us, by transforming this situation, we are creating causes for our own enlightenment. And in this way, this person should be viewed as similar to a spiritual friend. So then we'll continue where we left off last time, so starting with the 18th practice, which is transforming suffering and frailty into the path. So just to say on this outline, in the same text, there's several different versions given of this particular outline. So maybe we'll just go with transforming suffering and frailty into the path.
Mm-hmm. ne tsuyi pongshin tatu yi mi nye tsapchin nye dan dunji tabjian lar zhokun jidu da la lenji jing ne shunpa meba jese la le yin suwa cikshi di.
So again, I just read this verse, which for us is the 18th practice, starting with though you lack what you need and are constantly disparaged. Proposena di loko chenpo dhapa de.
Proposena jiruwa di loko chenpo senda da gara gaya loko chenpo senda da. Da ngay chi tupure se aji khos nyushuk cha ya kiya dhiruwa, nyushuk maara ngay chi tupure ngay chi se aji.
And so the explanation starts with if we think of our own situation, if let's say we either have been poor our whole life, or we were wealthy but we've fallen on hard times and we've lost our wealth. So it's a person who's experiencing difficulties due to impoverishment. So usually when we are in such a situation, then our mind becomes quite dispirited, and we long to lead a different life. We long to lead a life with financial abundance. We'd love to have nice holidays like we imagine our friends having, or to be able to go out with our friends to nice places and the like. But being poor, we cannot do this. And then this tends to lead our mind to becoming quite dispirited and despondent. So how we should relate to such difficulties is we should relate to them in the same way that a bodhisattva would. So a bodhisattva would take the same situation and transform it through thinking about it in a different way. They'd rather see that due to not being distracted by the variety of pleasures that can come through having an abundance of wealth, they have the opportunity to focus on their Dharma practice. And through focusing on the Dharma practice, they'll be creating causes for happiness. They'll be creating virtue, which is causes for happiness. And therefore, they have the opportunity to experience happiness in this and in future lives. So through thinking in this way, then they don't magically become wealthy. But the suffering that they have, the suffering that they could possibly have due to having a difficult situation financially, this is transformed. And this leads to the mind becoming powerful, and due to the power of their mind, they are not dispirited, but rather they are able to focus on the path of a bodhisattva.
In the era, could Janus imagine a ninja and Jamba that they are priced on the Mongol Congo at the Marshi, Tinjin, Jinzo, Yuan Jamba, then in Simba Lassa Namba, then you come to Kabla,
An actual bodhisattva, so someone who has given rise to uncontrived bodhicitta in their continuum and who is classed as a bodhisattva, they will not have these kinds of problems that we are talking about here. They will not be at risk of becoming dispirited due to financial poverty and the like. However, before they give rise to actual bodhicitta, when they are in the process of cultivating this mind, so they're training in the initial steps of thinking of all beings as having been their mothers, recollecting their kindness, etc. So when they're going through this process, this is still some time before they give rise to the actual mind of bodhicitta, and then they are susceptible to normal worldly difficulties. So it's practitioners at that level who do need to practice in the way that is described in these mind training verses here. So how such a practitioner should think is that when they are aware of these difficulties, these mental difficulties arising in their mind, so they're concerned about their financial problems, and this is causing them distress and the like, they would then turn their mind to the Dharma and remind themselves of this precious opportunity they have, remind themselves of the impermanence of this opportunity, and how very difficult it was to attain this rebirth, and that when death comes, unless they've created those full and complete causes, then this rare and precious opportunity may not come about in the next rebirth. Thinking like that, then their perspective changes, and no longer their financial situation will dominate their mind. Rather, they will see the need to rather engage in the accumulation of virtue, in the cultivation of minds such as love and compassion, because these will have a lasting benefit. And thinking like that, then dealing with difficulties, or when difficulties such as hunger or cold or anything else arises, then these are seen in their correct perspective, and they don't dominate the mind. They don't bring the mind down and leave the person mentally weak and dispirited and the like. Rather, their mind is focused on their practice, seeing the benefits of that. And in this way, through transforming these problems, then they progress towards the cultivation of the mind of bodhicitta, not being distracted by normal worldly concerns.
Then, Ganga chik che na dini ki nyamlin naa yandu ta kundu ki di nyamlin naa ma ma se ndela karitang di gaala dinu ngaran kyao nyamlin naa gora se na ta daa shen nyam che se ta dini ki ta ngaa liya ganga dini chikwa re ngaa ma yinpa mi shen ta sem chen dundro ta dini ki mi taa mi ma yinpa dundro dini ki kala saya ta dini ki cha pi dunga yunga ya on roho to pi dunga ya ganga ka sedi ka tse yo re se That pen, the solo ninja, that the sugi duma chasan, that Malia, Sahatuna, the neck gang at the needy minje, Kondu duma tamchila sen and Sawa Shosabi, and the duma chasa sweet Nilian Gisad. Tangarangi, Tikiwangaman and Tadibadu, Gehara Kawasasana, Nidia did a consul 파이
So such a practitioner who's in the process of developing or cultivating this mind of bodhicitta, how they would transform the situation is similar to actually how an actual bodhisattva would deal with difficulties that they experience or observe. So a second way that they would deal with this is that being aware of the problems and the difficulties they have in their life, turning the mind towards the Dharma so as to deal with them skillfully, they would engage in the practice of equalizing and exchanging self with others. So in this way, whatever problems they are experiencing, they will remind themselves that they are not unique. They are not unique in experiencing this difficulty. They are not unique in suffering from financial hardship or from a lack of nutritious food, or maybe if their conditions are very poor and they're cold and they cannot clothe themselves or heat the home properly. They're not unique in this situation. There are many, many other beings who are suffering in the same way. And those beings don't have the protection of the Buddha Dharma. They don't have the skillful technique of the Buddha Dharma to transform this suffering into something worthwhile and to uplift their mind. So being aware how others are experiencing the same difficulty but lack the skillful technique, love and compassion will arise strongly in them. And wanting to help others, they'll generate the strong wish that through them experiencing this difficulty, may no other being have to experience such a difficulty again. And furthermore, whatever roots of virtue they have accumulated in their past lives and in this life, through engaging in practices such as these, developing the minds of love and compassion through equalizing and exchanging self with others, and other virtuous activities, this practitioner has accumulated a lot of virtue. So knowing that, and knowing that from virtue all happiness comes, they dedicate this virtue, they offer this virtue to this through suffering sentient beings. And they have the strong aspiration that this virtue that I myself have accumulated over a long period of time and with great hardship, I offer this to others so that others can experience both temporary happiness as well as come to meet the Dharma and experience lasting happiness. And they offer this virtue so that others' temporary needs can be fulfilled, such as having sufficient nutritious food to eat, somewhere safe and warm and comfortable to live, etc. So all the difficulties that the practitioner is experiencing, they dedicate their virtue so that no other being has to experience that, but rather has good conditions. And in this way, they engage in the practice of taking on the suffering of others and experiencing the suffering of others on their behalf. And they engage in the practice of giving, in giving all their virtue and the roots of virtue, giving to others, so that others never again need to experience difficulty and rather can come to meet the Dharma and engage in the accumulation of virtue themselves.
And dangi dinigi kangatin, dinigi kangatin, dangi, dini gomia, dangi, gawa chirwada, chiri, chisan yamlin chigore, chisan yamlin chigore, chisan yamlin chigore, dini chira, dini, tepe yakuing us and be so supporti, dini adini gyo chavin, and adi, yamlin chirin, and jit hutus, tai yakutus, dinigi, and then chick, so the gyo chan, do you want to come at Most of Yamnole, Tinny Chandala Kanga Dinjore, the Pesas on San Bigini, she did called Chan Shalia and Jambata, Niju Comedi, Pemas Yaku wanted to din the Pay Aurecia and Biggie, Povakiwa, the Dinichin, and do some Dangoresia, the one on the left.
Tamataka Gona, the Danta and Keran Lempaki called Sung Sung, Keran, Cheyaki called Sung Sung, Danta and Lempachipo. The practicing in this way is something that bodhisattvas themselves will engage in, and certainly those who are training, those who have the aspiration to become bodhisattvas and therefore are engaging in the practice of cultivating bodhicitta. So in other words, those who want to become bodhisattvas and are engaging in the practices to become a bodhisattva, they both of those groups of beings engage in this practice. So if they engage in it, then certainly ourselves, as those who have at least an aspiration to become bodhisattvas and give rise to this precious mind of bodhicitta, we too should engage in this in practices of equalizing and exchanging self with others. If we think about it for a moment, it makes complete sense, because we know from our own experience that we do experience a lot of problems, and two, worrying about them excessively doesn't make the problems go away. It just exacerbates it and it strengthens our mental suffering. So it only harms us, it doesn't help. However, when one sees that one's mind is experiencing suffering, and then one remembers this teaching and engages in the Dharma practice of equalizing, exchanging self with others, then we will see how through this difficulty our mind actually will become joyful and light, and this awful situation we are experiencing is totally transformed. And when we get up from our cushion, we'll no longer feel heavy and oppressed like when we sat down, but it will be feel light and powerful. So again, just to recap on the practice, when we are aware of the difficulties in our life, we should first of all remind ourselves that this is not an experience that's unique to me. It's not something that is just all about me. This is rather something that is being experienced now by so many other sentient beings. And they may well be experiencing the suffering in a harsher way than myself, but certainly they'll be suffering without a skillful solution like I have. So therefore, all these beings are actually experiencing the same problem in a far worse manner than I am. So being aware of the suffering of others, we then generate the wish that these beings who have all shown us so much kindness since beginning this lifetimes, that let them never have to experience this again. And me now, who's experiencing this difficulty of maybe impoverishment or having difficult conditions or whatever it may be, let me experience this on their behalf. Through me experiencing it, may all these the causes that have been accumulated by sentient beings that will ripen in such an experience, may I experience that for them all right now. May these causes of suffering be exhausted, and may it be exhausted within my own experience. So in this way, one generates this mind of taking on the suffering and the causes of the suffering of others. One takes this on oneself and transforms it into oneself, and transforms this onto the path of enlightenment through generating this mind of compassion. May no sentient beings experience any suffering. May I experience it on their behalf. May I take on all their previously accumulated causes of suffering. Engaging in this practice, we then come to the third step, which is we now, having engaged in this practice of taking, we remind ourselves that we have transformed our own problem, and by doing so, we've accumulated a tremendous amount of virtue. And having generated this virtue, this should automatically lead to the arrival of joy in our mind. So now our mind is certainly no longer depressed or dispirited by our difficulties, but we should be generating, joy should just naturally arise because we've accumulated so much virtue, and this virtue is the source of future happiness. Then, with this now powerful and joyful mind, we then move our mind then to the next step, the fourth step, and we remind ourselves that we have accumulated this virtue in dependence on other sentient beings. And therefore, it's in dependence on the kindness of others that we have accumulated this virtue now. So with that in mind, and being aware of the suffering of others, we dedicate all this virtue that we've accumulated right now, as well as previously, we dedicate it to others. We offer it to them with a strong aspiration that not only do they not experience suffering, but may they also experience happiness, and happiness of both the temporary kind and the ultimate kind. So we dedicate it so that all their needs can be fulfilled in terms of the Dharma, and that they can come to meet the Dharma and come under the care of a spiritual friend and cultivate the path to enlightenment in their own continuum. So in this way, we engage in the practice of giving, giving happiness to others, giving the roots of virtue that we have accumulated through great efforts, giving to others so others can experience lasting happiness. And in this way, we engage in the practice of giving and taking. So I've now explained the first part of the first line, though you like what you need. So to look at the second part of the first line and are constantly disparaged. So then this refers to when one is verbally abused by others. So this could be on in any context, such as in terms of racism, or someone looking down on one in terms of nationality, or being abused in terms of one's impoverishment, one's financial status, or someone abusing their position of power and therefore for verbally abusing ourselves, abusing us. So it could be in any kind of situation. So here is someone who's trained in the minds, in the practices of seeing all sentient beings as being their mothers, and the recollection of the kindness that they showed us in those relationships, and generated the wish to repay that kindness, etc. Such a practitioner, whether they have generated actual bodhicitta or not, but someone who has been engaging in these practices of cultivating bodhicitta, for them it will come about naturally that the way they will respond to such abuse is to generate patience. And they will generate this mind of patience will naturally arise in them, because this person that is abusing them is seen as someone as close, that is close to them, not as an enemy. And therefore, when this mind of patience arises, it's very easy for this practitioner to think calmly and remind themselves that this person who's now being abusive towards them is giving the practitioner an opportunity to practice patience, an opportunity to accumulate a tremendous amount of virtue, and an opportunity that they would not have had if this person hadn't been abusing them. So thinking like that, they generate great joy in their mind. So their mind from the outset stayed calm despite the difficult situation. From that they were able to recall that they have the opportunity to practice patience and accumulate virtue, and they have the opportunity to also recall that this person is in a sense like their spiritual teacher, in that they are creating the conditions for them, for you as a practitioner, to create causes for one's enlightenment. So all this thinking comes about due to having a calm mind, and this comes about due to having previously engaged routinely in the practices of cultivating the mind of bodhicitta. So this is how bodhisattvas would practice. It's certainly how those training in the mind of bodhicitta would also practice, and therefore we should too. In the same way then that bodhisattvas and the aspirant bodhisattvas practice in this way, then so too should we. So when we're in a situation when we are being verbally abused by someone or accused of something falsely, etc., we should recall that this is our opportunity to practice patience. And here, this practicing of patience means that the mind does not become disturbed, the mind does not become upset or going in the direction of anger. So it's not just about being quiet, it's about the mind staying peaceful and calm. And then with this peaceful and calm mind of patience, one can recall the kindness of the person despite how they're treating us. One can recall that we have the opportunity now, and we are taking this opportunity to accumulate causes for enlightenment, and therefore this person is tremendously kind to us, and kind to us in a way that can be compared to our own spiritual friend. So all of this should come about through our prior training in the practices of developing bodhicitta, and thereby being able to successfully practice patience.
Sevokum Guri, the Nigin Yamlin Chevuri Lavadu, Donda Galos and Nikolaya Mares, Sebukomgures. And they so so Sebukomyagi, Sebukomyagi Rayadi, and Koy Kornlan Church, Koy Korn Jinjan, Sebukomyaranza, and Koketin Chimbores and Bures. In Ada, Gidinata has Sebukongu, Yamin Jigus, Koyagadin Yudana, the Gurdiada, and Lavo Tukarjana, the Jen, Soso Yonra, Didigoma. Chisan D. Mayagi, Sosuki, Padrea, Dresser, and Dreada, Tabla Tabsje. Then Yaji, Gidina, Dine Chiguena.
And just to, I think it's important to look a bit more at this practice of patience and what the meaning of practicing patience is in our context. Because what it doesn't mean is that if someone, for example, is physically abusing one, that one just humbly bows down and takes the blows and accepts the beating. It doesn't mean that. We have this precious opportunity to practice the Dharma because we've attained this rebirth. We shouldn't let it go to waste by willingly accepting a beating from someone else. And similarly, if someone is trying to deceive us and maybe cheat us out of money and the like, then we shouldn't humbly bow down and just accept everything that's said, knowing that we're being cheated, but think we're practicing patience. This is not the meaning of practicing patience. So it's in the colloquial way that we speak, practicing patience doesn't mean being a doormat. So rather, what this practice of patience means is it's a mental practice. It means that in the time of when one is experiencing difficulty, when the causes for, in particular causes for anger are all around one, at those times we need to guard our mind against anger. So we need to ensure that our mind stays calm and peaceful. And how do we keep our mind calm? We generate minds such as love and compassion. And if we have minds of love and compassion present, then practicing patience will be very easy. And again, what does practicing patience mean here? It means the mind is staying calm. This anger isn't dominant. Anger isn't even present. Then patience is being practiced. It doesn't mean verbally not saying anything or physically not doing anything. It means the mind is calm. The mind has love and compassion present. The minds of love and compassion are present. That is the meaning of practicing patience. So how to respond then when one is in such a situation where one is being physically abused or verbally abused or someone is trying to deceive one? So the first response is a mental response. We should be aware, we should be mindful that here we are surrounded now by the causes for the ripening of anger. So we need to guard our mind. And how do we guard our mind? We are immediately aware that this person who's acting in this way towards us is accumulating non-virtue. They themselves are suffering in this moment, and they are accumulating the causes for future suffering. And if we have done the previous meditations on seeing all beings as our mother and recalling the kindness they've shown us, etc., then this person who has shown us so much kindness, this person who is our mother of a previous lifetime, is right now suffering and is right now creating the causes for future suffering. And being aware of that, then a mind of compassion will arise within us. Not anger, because these two are contradictory. Just the mind of compassion will arise, despite what they are saying or doing to us. And then with this mind of compassion present, we will be practicing patience, because our mind will be calm, we'll be thinking clearly, and we'll have a mind of compassion dominant. So then, that's our first step. Our first step is guarding our mind. And now with our mind being infused with compassion and patience, then we respond. And we can respond verbally, we can respond physically. We need to see what is most appropriate in that circumstance. Maybe we need to walk away. Maybe we need to physically defend ourselves. Maybe we need to say something to that person. And if our mind is calm, we will be able to use our wisdom and respond appropriately, thinking, do I have the relationship where I can say something that will have an impact on this person? And if I do, then what can I say that in this moment, when they possibly are angry, what can I say that would be skillful, that would turn them away from creating the causes of negativity, the causes of suffering? Turn them away. Maybe they're acting illegally, trying to deceive us and cheat us. Maybe they are acting illegally by beating us. Or maybe they're just acting unethically by talking abusively to us. So if we have the relationship and our mind is calm, maybe we can say something to them right there and then. Or maybe we just need to separate ourselves from that situation. So those are the decisions we make in the second step. The first step is we guard our mind and we ensure our mind stays peaceful and calm. And then we will have the mental space to act skillfully. And that can be either saying something or choosing not to say something. Doing something or choosing not to do something, depending on the circumstances, our skill in the situation, our relationship with the person, etc. So that is the meaning of the practice of patience. And it is not, it's not about being accepting the abuse of others or being a doormat and allowing oneself to be abused. Rather, it's guarding ourselves against the rise of anger, and where we can, helping others stop engaging in non-virtue and stopping others accumulating seeds for future suffering, if that is appropriate in the at the time. From that presentation, then hopefully the meaning of the practice of patience then should be clear. And then to give an illustration that we have all directly seen, to see the practice of patience by skilled practitioners, we only need to think of the example of His Holiness. So of course, the Chinese government has caused a tremendous amount of destruction and suffering within Tibet, and the people of Tibet have experienced this directly. And we can think back to 1959 when they tried to capture His Holiness himself, and His Holiness had to flee from his homeland, etc. So despite all that happened to him directly and all that has happened consistently since then to the Tibetan people, His Holiness has never said that Chinese are bad. We should respond in kind to them. We should stand up to them and harm them in the way they are harming us. He's never said that or anything like that. Rather, what he said, and he said repeatedly, is that Chinese people are good people. There's not a problem with the Chinese people. It's not the Chinese people are harming us. Rather, some of their political leaders, they have a very narrow-minded way of thinking, a closed-minded way of thinking. And because of their faulty way of thinking, they've created these harmful policies. And then those policies, when they are implemented by the people who are responsible for implementing the government policies, that is what has created harm to the Tibetan people. So we shouldn't respond with anger, and we shouldn't respond by criticizing the Chinese people, because the Chinese people are good people, they're people like we are. So this His Holiness has said many times, and we can see that the way he travels, when he travels around the world, despite always meeting the Tibetan community and hearing these stories, his mind, we can see, stays calm and stays peaceful, and he's able to teach others and show us the example of the practice of the middle way in terms of his policy towards the Chinese government, and encourages the Tibetan people to see the positive the positive effects that can come to Tibet through their relationship with China, so the financial positive financial results that can come through their relationship with China, etc. So here he's shown an illustration, and he is an example in terms of how to deal with really quite dreadful situations and not responding with anger, not even allowing this mind of anger to arise. And so we've seen His Holiness doing this. We've heard many stories about the great practitioners within Tibet who dealt with imprisonment and the like in this way. So we too should try and practice like this.
Pine chuche memda da din roba jega mangule gi ro janan ma ga ni mangule ro da ja mangule ro da su gi ti lo jong te ya da ti chen che ri te ya da ya mangule ngu ro de su ke ne ne ma che ba ne ne jana mil ya ga sin de gin da ku ro su gi ro ben da de be ya ne rang so le da me se da han ja da ja chi chu mu chi chu ro da
Jesus, Tabzina
So first of all, His Holiness in exile, he of course, he would have had access, he could have chosen a path of violence, which is often how people do respond to these situations. So being in exile in India, it's certainly possible to buy weaponry and the like, and could have encouraged a guerrilla warfare and sending people back to Tibet to fight against the Chinese and the like and try and kill Chinese and solve the situation in that way. But rather, he's always consistently presented the path of non-violence. He's consistently turned away from any form of harm towards others and has made this very, very clear. And this message, which is of course in accordance with the Dharma, has been completely accepted by the Tibetan community. And where we can see this is not only in the absence of any kind of guerrilla movement, but when those Tibetans who have felt so desperate that they wanted to do something, the path that they chose was one of self-immolation. So they only physically harmed themselves. They didn't do what other terrorist groups or resistance groups do, and in terms of suicide bombing. This has never been something that anyone has thought as a suitable solution. Rather, when people were desperate, they chose to self-immolate and only harm themselves and ensure that no one else was physically harmed by their actions. So here again we see how His Holiness has always been very clear that the way to respond to whatever difficulty one experiences is not to respond in kind, but to respond with a mind of patience. But not and then linking with this, but not being passive and just accepting the abuse from others. One should respond, but one's mind should be calm and peaceful, and that due to the arisal of love and compassion. So this is how we can see him, that His Holiness practicing, and therefore we too should deal with our own difficulties in such a way. And to look at the second line, afflicted by dangerous sickness and spirits. So we all sometimes get ill, and sometimes one may be gravely ill. In such a situation, then our mind tends to be become quite obsessed by our situation, especially when we experience serious illness. However, if we think about it dispassionately, we know that either worrying excessively about our situation doesn't help. complaining excessively about a situation, that also doesn't help. So rather, we should, rather the way to respond to this is similar to what we've been hearing before. We should remind ourselves, turn our mind away from our suffering and turn our mind towards the Dharma. And first remind ourselves that this suffering situation, so in this case, one being ill, has come about to us in a previous life having engaged in non-virtuous behavior and thereby accumulated this cause which is now ripening in suffering. So we ourselves have created the cause for this suffering condition. And so knowing this, we can remind ourselves that now that cause is being experienced and it's being extinguished. It won't need to be experienced again. However, we have accumulated many such causes. And if we don't use this opportunity of this precious human rebirth, if we don't use this opportunity, these causes for suffering that we have accumulated will have to be experienced in this life and in future lives. So rather, we should, now that we've turned our mind towards the Dharma, we should engage in utilizing what remains of this precious opportunity. And by doing so, we can change the situation that we find ourselves in now of continually experiencing suffering within cyclic existence. Because if we don't change, the way we live, if we don't use this opportunity well, we will remain bound within samsara. So seeing that we have this opportunity now to bring an end to this, we then can engage in the practice of equalizing and exchanging self for others in the same way as we heard before, recalling firstly how others are suffering in the same way that we are, and that they do not have the skillful method of the Buddha Dharma to deal with the situation. So even if their situation is the same as ours, because they don't have a skillful method, their experience of the suffering is that much worse than ours. So thinking like this will give rise to the mind of compassion and cultivate, strengthen this mind of compassion, which wanting to take on the suffering of others, take on, experience, have that all the causes of suffering that others have accumulated, let that ripen on us right now, in this suffering experience that we are having right now, so that others never have to experience this. And then afterwards, as we heard before, we generate great joy in what we've done. We've accumulated a huge amount of virtue, and this virtue is the seeds for future happiness, especially the lasting happiness of enlightenment. And then with a mind of love, wanting others not only to never experience suffering, but wanting them to experience happiness upon happiness, we offer this merit that we have accumulated now and in the past, all this merit that we've accumulated through our own endeavor and our own hard work, we offer to others so that others experience both temporary happiness and lasting happiness, so that all the needs and sufferings of others be fulfilled and they no longer have to experience suffering, but rather come to meet the Dharma and accumulate the causes and attain enlightenment quickly. So this is how a practitioner, a bodhisattva, would transform something like a severe illness. And likewise, those who are engaged in the practices of cultivating bodhicitta, this is how they would use the opportunity of experiencing severe illness to be of benefit to others.
Then,
kolya kono malawa di kumgures chena janju semba kono zegi nyamne nanga ju kono zle dini na nyobare chuwa ina kono tu kum kum nang gores nyamne nang gores sezan ana du ine ana du ya dini ge moza ha ko ana mogo wa susu ge da jinga lu ne sha la yu ne me do sembi dini to go she bene de le an chi ge o dini su yu na dang ne he su yu na nin je sembi ge de le an chi ge Kurang tu nyombo ungi tu sengali ya cici kor wasan pegi nici kor mian dah ada ni deli ya kondo tangi kondo kor ya nevi ya kondo langi mian pegi sebab kor mian dini kor dah dengan sebab kor mian nici kor mian kerja sah cuci bea wujung wasan pegi ya kor ya ni kerjain cembur ya sen dus kor mian dah dini tangan tu ki kurang ki kengah di jangan tu sumi lain tangan tu ki TV cebu di kor lepas dia ke dus tanglang kor mian dah jadi sebab ni dini kor mian dah tangan tu ini dini cium ni
The second part of our second line refers to spirits. So spirits can include some of the gods. It can include beings such as Nagas and the like. So such beings, they can harm us. So they can these non-humans can harm humans and give us obstacles and the like. So should we receive some either obstacles or harm from non-humans, even though we don't really know who or what has harmed us, we have no idea what they look like or even if this definitely is coming from a spirit or a god or the like, we can use this opportunity that knowing that we are experiencing harm or we are experiencing unwanted obstacles, we can use this opportunity to transform it into the path to enlightenment. So as we've heard before, the first thing we recall is that this other sentient being that is harming us, they are doing it with a mind that is dominated by the afflictions. So quite possibly their mind is dominated by anger, and therefore they are acting in this harmful manner towards us or creating obstacles for us, etc. So being aware that this being who has been our kind mother in the past, this being in previous lives, we had a very different relationship with them, and in this previous life where they cared for us and put our needs before us, that this is the relationship we do have with such a being, even if in this life we don't recognize it and they don't recognize it and we are being harmed by them. Recalling this relationship, compassion will arise for them, that this being who's shown us so much kindness is now in this life suffering under the influence or under the control of the afflictions. So being aware of the suffering that they themselves are experiencing, compassion will arise within us. And with this arisal of compassion, then its contrary mind, the mind of anger, cannot arise. So this is the second step. So we've now practiced patience. So in the first step, we think about the being who is harming us and that they are doing so under the influence of the afflictions. And then this will lead to the arisal of compassion. And then the second step is, now with compassion present, we make sure that anger stays subdued and that we practice patience. And thirdly, now that we are practicing this mind of compassion, we know that this mind of compassion is creating, that is present. Just due to its presence, we are accumulating the causes for our enlightenment. And this should give us much reason to rejoice. And now with this happy, joyful mind, aware of all this virtue that we've accumulated, we offer this virtue to this being who is actually harming us, and we offer it to this being and to all other beings, so that their needs may be met in accordance with the Dharma, and that all and that they come to meet the Dharma and attain the lasting happiness of enlightenment. And then that would be the third step, the rejoicing, and then the fourth step would be to offer the virtue to them. So in this way, we can take whatever situation we experience, even when we're being harmed by non-humans, beings that we cannot even directly perceive, and we can practice in the same way that bodhisattvas do and transform the suffering situation into the causes for enlightenment. So in this way, transform suffering into the path to enlightenment.
Then me my imba my me ne migi shandake nganga ne nga cha changa tulya jinne ba kiya ru tine himaina tang anju gi delya an phajolya ne ba to ya gi yang ji nga cha ya da ba swe ya da tine sam da na jinne di go ma ko chewa cha ru ko ba ji sa ni ni gi je ba na ta de ni gi ne ba to ya la yak sho di ni ji go mya de so da ko le 과도 되네
So here in Australia, you may many people probably do not believe in harmful spirits or gods that can that can harm us, or in the existence of nuggets and the like. Whereas in my homeland, where I'm from, then certainly people do believe in this. And believing in this, there is the danger that they may choose to respond with harm to these beings. So they may engage in the recitation of mantra with their motivation to harm these beings, because they want to stop being harmed themselves. So this is a very unskillful method. So really, whether one believes in unseen beings or not isn't so important. What is important is how one responds to difficult situations where beings are harming us, whether they are seen or not. And the best solution is not to respond with a mantra or any other kind of weapon to try and harm the other person. The best solution is to generate minds of love, to generate minds of compassion. And having generated minds of love and compassion for this suffering being who's acting in a harmful way towards us, then another mind that we should generate, which is also very powerful, is the mind of the understanding of emptiness. So whatever our understanding of emptiness is, we should bring that to mind and reflect on the lack of true existence in the situation. So these are the best way to respond to receiving harm from others. And again, whether the harm is from humans or non-humans isn't the central point here. The central point is when one is being harmed, the best way to respond is with minds of love, of compassion, and the wisdom understanding emptiness. And furthermore, one can also turn one's mind to the three jewels, reminding ourselves that it's only the three jewels, in particular the cultivation of the Buddha Dharma, that can not only protect us from suffering, but can benefit even those who are causing us harm. So in this way we can go for refuge, and refuge can protect our mind in this way, because going for refuge will lead to the cultivation of minds such as love, compassion and emptiness. So this is the most skillful way to respond to harm from others.
Then Then that the Kishuji Samatubaina, Yawachima Dile Duanya, that Tetelian, not Nana came into the Kishu to do it and be some bad Jambata Tawa, Nijo Komia Kijo come to do the same Nishu, Pokeje, and the Komiata. And Shenla, Nova Chevala, Jambata Tawa, Nijia, and Sako Komiata. And this was Shenda, which in the Gile, and Chigar.
So in this verse, we've looked at a number of forms of suffering that we experience and how to transform them. So we had being verbally abused or disparaged by others. We had dealing with a financial hardship or distress. Dealing with severe illness and dealing with harm from non-humans. So in all of these situations, when all situations where we experience difficulty and we experience suffering, the way to respond is not in our usual habitual way, which is to worry a lot and to possibly complain and let our mind be dominated by this suffering, but rather when we are aware of these suffering situations approaching, or we see the causes for the rise of suffering around us, to turn our mind towards the Dhamma, or if suffering has arisen in our mind, to turn our mind to the Dhamma. And here the advice is consistent. We should try and generate minds of love and compassion, reflect on our understanding or recall our understanding of emptiness, and by bringing these minds up, we can deal with the situation skillfully. And we've heard repeatedly tonight that the way to respond to whatever suffering we experience, whatever difficulties we experience, is to see it in a broader context, that this experience that I have now is not unique to me. It's something that is being experienced right now by many other beings, and being experienced by them in a far more severe way than I am. And in the same way that I do not want to experience the suffering, they too do not want to experience the suffering. And recalling that this comes due to causes that we all have accumulated, we then take on the suffering that these other beings are experiencing, as well as the causes for future suffering. We take this on ourselves, knowing that these beings have shown us so much kindness in the past, do not want to suffer, and that we have accepted the responsibility of repaying the kindness that they have shown us. We take on the suffering that they have experienced. And doing this, our mind will become strong and powerful, will generate great joy at what we are doing, and we'll then have virtue which will dedicate back to others. So in this way, we're making our mind powerful and strong, and we're accumulating the causes for happiness right in this moment, because our mind is being transformed into a mind of the Dhamma, and we are accumulating causes for future happiness because of the virtue and the power of the mind that we are accumulating. So this is how we should respond to difficulties, but we also shouldn't be under any illusion and think by practicing in this way, for example, we will transform our financial situation and suddenly become wealthy. That is not what's going to come about, because we need to also keep in mind that our financial situation is due to the causes we ourselves have accumulated. So, and for that to change, our financial situation to change, we need to accumulate different causes. However, this practice does lead to the mind being happy, the mind being powerful, and one being able to respond in a beneficial way to others. And we heard about that in the context of the practice of patience. So this is in particular when someone is directly giving us verbally abusing us, or even physically abusing us, or trying to deceive us, etc. So here we heard about the practice of patience, where independent on our prior training, we will generate a mind of compassion for this person who is abusing us, being aware that they have been our mothers in the past. They, when our relationship was different, in a different life, they showed us tremendous kindness. And now this very dear person, their mind is dominated by their afflictions, possibly by anger or by attachment to wealth and wanting to deceive us, etc. And with this understanding, compassion will arise for them. And with compassion present, it's very easy to practice patience, because practicing patience, as we heard, is about the mind staying calm, the mind not becoming under the influence of anger, and thereby one is able to respond skillfully to this person. And furthermore, we will be aware that by as practicing patience in these trying circumstances, we are accumulating a lot of virtue, and we are doing this, accumulating this virtue independent on this person who's being abusive towards us. So in this way, this person is enabling us to accumulate the causes for enlightenment. And therefore, this person is similar to our virtuous friend in that they are enabling us to accumulate the seeds for enlightenment. So thinking in this way, we will be happy in the moment. We will not be suffering despite these very trying circumstances. And we'll be creating the causes for future happiness, and the causes in particular for the lasting happiness, the happiness of liberation from psychic existence and the attainment of enlightenment. So this is the way that bodhisattvas practice. This is the way that those who are training to be bodhisattvas practice. And therefore we too should utilize every opportunity that we have to practice in this way.
It
is Person that Kapitella Konsukati Shuna Trigidu, Yamana?
How could it? You're not men, I don't get it.
These practices that we've heard about tonight. So this is something that we all have the opportunity to engage, to cultivate within ourselves. We all meet trying situations all the time. And these shouldn't just be seen as something theoretical that one can engage in about problems in the world, etc. But we should use them to deal with the difficulties that we experience in our own daily lives. And the people that we should start with as objects to cultivate the minds of love and compassion with, and also thereby to practice patience with, are those that we have the closest relationship with. Because the people that we are closest to are often those that we get quite annoyed with. And when we get annoyed with these people that we do actually like in some relationships, in other relationships we really care for them and love them deeply, we can destroy those good relationships, those harmonious relationships we have by being unskillful in the way that we respond with them. So it's the people that we are closest with that we should engage in this practice of developing minds of love and compassion for, and we certainly will then have the opportunities to practice patience with them. So this is where we should start. And if we do this, so if we engage in the prior meditations of the cultivation of the mind of that these people I'm close to, and we go through them individually, thinking how they've been our mothers in the past, they've shown us so much kindness, etc. And we go through this process generating minds of genuine love, of not wanting them to experience any form of suffering at all, only experience happiness, etc. Then when we have a trying situation with them, then a mind of patience will automatically arise, because compassion will easily arise for this person. And when that happens, we won't respond in our normal way of maybe speaking rather harshly or abruptly back to them. Rather, our mind will stay calm and we'll stay clear. And this will give us the opportunity to respond in a skillful manner to someone that we do have a good relationship with. And we can maybe help diffuse the situation quite easily. And if we do that, then we can turn them away from accumulating non-virtue, because of course their mind would have been dominated by anger or attachments and the like. So these are people we have the relationship where we can respond skillfully to them, and they will be receptive to what we have to say. So this would be very beneficial to do. And doing that, we know that what happens, our relationship with them will actually become closer. As opposed to what we also have experience of, is responding with anger to someone. Then we leave unhappy, then we have both parties' minds are dominated by the anger of the situation, and we waste a lot of time and a lot of mental energy going around with these thoughts again and again, and then trying to make the situation right eventually. So that is a waste of time. It's a huge amount of non-virtue has been accumulated. Rather, with those that we are close with, we should cultivate these minds of love, of genuine love, genuine compassion for them, so that we can respond skillfully with the mind of patience when we do experience difficulties with them. So therefore, what we've spoken about tonight is actually a very important practice, and it's a practice that we ourselves really should take on, because it's very relevant to our lives. Then tomorrow we'll continue still in the same verse, because the commentary then starts with a short quotation from Nagarjuna's Precious Garland. So the commentary will be quite similar to what we have said already, and then we'll continue with the following verses, or the verses that follow. So we'll stop there for tonight. So are there some questions tonight? Then tomorrow. Thank you. Oh yes, yes, please. Please.
Sort of like an intellectual protection mechanism from just
yes.
that.
Yes.
So in fact there's a technical aspect to it.
Yes. So if I understand correctly, then if one generates this mind of compassion, it also serves the purpose of preventing us from responding in our habitual way.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Dini kenangi kalok di sopo hakona. Dini ngato ninji gomne. Dini ngato misimbe ngato kanyol tredu. Dini ngato lumlangi wangju zeni konso tsik tsukta drabo lapi mare. Dini ninji gomna. Dini pendo di yang. Exactly as we've understood. So through having prior cultivated the minds of compassion, then in these trying situations, instead of responding in a harsh manner, rather our mind will stay calm because of the presence of compassion. And then instead of creating non-virtue, actually we're creating virtue. So yes, you understood perfectly. Okay, thank you. Peter.
I wonder if similarly to the idea of the nagging of spirits,
mm-hmm.
or it's a harm that comes to you, it's not physical,
mm-hmm.
Is it possible for other human beings to cause you psychic pain?
Okay. So in the same way that non-humans can harm us in a non-physical way, is it possible for humans to harm us in such a way? Okay. I'll try, because there's not certainly a word for non-psychic. So I'll try. Yes. Yes. Okay. Dene dongde la sopa nga zo nerna dene gonzo ner tanka siere dene pena gonzo nga zo sem dan drabo ner togire nga zo sopo yinzi minzi ner gogi mare dene dene dongde la sopa gonzo nga zo sem dan drabo ner togire dene miki nga zo sem ner togire be dene dongde nangzi mi tigi nga zo sem ne tup kire
al mi ji gi na sa je nga ge thone ni bi ten je on sem ne ne bi je yong re si go da te yong si ba re yong si go da
so yes so through the practice of, I don't know what we'd call it, maybe black magic, something like this. So through the practice of black magic, then humans can harm other humans in that way. Thank you.
Yeah.